times we go through trials we find so hard to bear. We ask ourselves this question, saying, God, are you really there? I've asked that same question, yes, I've been down that road, but looking back, I now can tell you, he's always.
Appreciate it tonight. Enjoyed that. Let's go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Gospel of John chapter 11. And if you were at Brother DeVries' funeral service yesterday, no, I did not get my message from that funeral service, all right? They spoke out of John chapter 11. But this was already written and ready to go before I attended that service yesterday. It was a blessing to hear about Brother Steve's dad, and I know they're thankful that if he can't be here, he's with the Lord, so that's good. If you found John chapter 11 and you're able to stand, join me. Join me by standing. I'm going to read the first six or seven verses from this good chapter. Verse 1, the Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again." Now, my message tonight, the delivery of the message tonight is going to be different than what I would normally use. Normally, it's a, like this morning, point one, point two, point three type delivery. But tonight I don't have any points, and I'm not going to get to the application of the message till the very end. So you're going to have to pay attention. There's no real heart-grabbing illustrations here. But the Lord just helped me with something the other day. And so I want to preach on this subject. Our great big God sees the great big picture. Our great big God sees the great big picture. Father, I pray that you'll help me tonight. And you know, Lord, the truth that I really would love for your Spirit to really help us get tonight and learn it. And because, Lord, we probably all need it at some point in life, and maybe some sooner than others, who knows. So help me tonight, please. Fill us all with your Spirit. I hope we've come tonight with a desire to learn your word. So speak to us, Lord, from it, I pray in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you, and be seated. How do you follow a meeting like the one we just experienced last Sunday through Wednesday? I'm grateful for the way the Lord spoke to my heart, our hearts, through Brother Ross's preaching. I mentioned this morning that it was a little surprising to me that the themes were quite varied in theme, but I felt like each one had its own special impact and purpose for us, and I can just about remember every one of them, but I won't take the time to go through those five messages that we heard. If I had to choose one that had the most visible impact on our church, and just by optics only, okay? Because you never know which message God uses and how he uses it. But if I had to choose one that had the most visible impact on our church, it would be the one entitled, Pray a Great Big Prayer to a Great Big God. That was Monday night. If you were here, there was no mistaking that the Spirit of God moved in this place and ministered to our hearts. Now, he had not planned to preach that message. That's what he told me after the service. Or actually, sitting in the office back there before the service. And I had taken him to Jimmy Joe's for lunch over there. That's a good place. That guy does a good job. And I had ribs. We both had ribs. Had the same thing, had ribs. And we had a great day. And we ended up talking about preaching, like I mentioned this morning, and other things, and about his chemo and all that, and his cancer. So I asked him, I said, well, I heard about a message that you preached at a youth conference or a youth meeting not long ago on a particular subject, and I heard it was really well received. Tell me about it. And so he told me about this message, and he said, what are you preaching at teen things? I don't preach as many teen things, but I said, well, I've been using this message and this message. And I said, I have a message on prayer that I use at revival meetings or Bible conferences at churches, and the Lord just got on my heart about using it. I believe it was at football camp a couple of years ago. I adapted that message on prayer to young people because, and here's why, I got saved at age 18, and I learned from the time I was at the boys' ranch and going into Bible college, I learned that God does answer prayer. He answered a lot of them, and that stirred my heart as a teenager. And I couldn't believe how well it was received. And he told me that night, he said, I could not get away from what you talked about today on the matter of prayer. And he said, I hadn't planned on preaching this message, but I know it's the one God wants. And it turned out to be the one that visibly had the greatest impact on our church. And you know, I think the altar call showed that to be true. Some people place very little value on altar calls, not me. No, sir. I believe in the importance of them, and I, Lord willing, always will and won't change. I believe those are woven into the fabric of our independent Baptist churches especially. And when you start pulling things like altar calls out of our services, you're messing with the integrity of what we believe as a church. And I will never apologize for an altar call. In fact, I correlate the apathy of God's people today with the apathetic attitude a lot of people have about the invitation. I really do. And so, but that message had a visible impact. And since that message was the one that seemed to be the most impactful, I don't want us to lose the momentum of the truth that God impressed on our hearts that night. Pray a great big prayer to a great big God. And amen, that's true. And maybe that fire was rekindled in your heart last Monday night. Something that you'd kind of just let go of because you just thought, but you picked it up. And remember at the end of the service, we all sat ahead of us, what is your request? Write it down. And I wrote it down. I wrote mine down. It's in my Bible where I do my devotions at home on my 3x5 card. And I've prayed it. It's a great big prayer. But he's a great big God, and I don't want us to lose the momentum of that service and that message. But here's what is on my heart tonight. Because, the thing that, and this is going to be a little transparent, okay, confession is good for the soul. The thing that was going through my mind, and since I am human and like you, we're all human, I would guess that maybe something went like this through your mind as well. And I thought, you know, and I believed it and I know it, and I wrote a big prayer request down. But, you know, I thought I battled. But I have prayed big prayers that were not answered. I don't know if you thought that or not, but I've prayed big prayers that were not answered. Why should I do it? And by the way, I'm not throwing his message under the bus. It was much needed. It was a very helpful message. And I wouldn't be surprised if some people don't see some answers to a great big prayer from a great big God. But if I were to ask tonight, how many of you have prayed a great big prayer to a great big God? And it didn't seem that the answer came. But I would imagine that would be just about every hand in the room here tonight. Okay? So let me remind you of a couple things first of all, okay? There are a couple of situations when big prayers don't go answered. Now hold your ribbon or put something there in John 11 and look over to Deuteronomy chapter 3, okay? Look over to Deuteronomy chapter 3. And Moses is talking with the children of Israel here. And he's talking about that experience where he smote the rock instead of speaking to it, right? And by the way, I'm not going to do a lot of preaching tonight. This is going to be more conversational, I guess. Maybe like a more ramped up Bible study or Sunday school lesson. And, you know, God said, you're not going in. Look at verse 25. And Moses had given a testimony about that. He said, he's talking about, he said, verse 23, I besought the Lord. So I asked the Lord, verse 25, I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain in Lebanon. Lord, please let me go in. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee. Now look at this, church. Speak no more unto me of this matter. Do not ask me again. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Don't ask me again, okay? And so sometimes we're praying a great big prayer that what we are asking for is not in line with God's plan. And I don't think that's going to go anywhere, folks, okay? Now, that's one example. Now, look at 2 Corinthians. You know this one. You probably knew that one as well. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So now we're going the other way in our Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And here's another occasion where a big prayer went unanswered. And it's the Apostle Paul. And you know, he's got this thorn in the flesh. And most people think that it was his eye disease. He called it a messenger of Satan. Look at what he says in verse 7, to buffet me. It beats on him. Maybe it doesn't beat on him physically, but it just beats on his spirit. Does that ever happen? Sure it does. Okay? And so what does he do in verse 8? For this thing I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Plain as day, I asked God, great big prayer to a great big God, take this away. And he didn't just say, oh Lord, by the way, if you get an opportunity, I would. No, he besought the Lord, okay? So he's begging God. And God says in verse number 9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul said, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know what happened? God changed his desire. From take this away to Lord, I want it. If it means your power, I want it. So, back to John chapter 11. There are a couple times where what we're asking for is not in God's plan. And God says, don't ask me anymore. Or what we're asking for, God says, no, you need that. You need that situation. And so God changes our desire. But wait, time out. If what we are asking for is not against his will and he doesn't change our desire, then why wasn't our big prayer answered? And I don't have all the answers, but there is one that I believe is found in this text, and it might help somebody in this room not to quit asking a big prayer from a big God, or it might help somebody understand why my great big prayer to a great big God didn't get answered like I wanted it to, okay? Now, verse number one, we're just going to look at this, okay? You got Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, right? They had become good friends with the Lord Jesus, and Jesus was at their house in Bethany often, and evidently Jesus was very comfortable there because he went there several times. You find him there several times in the scripture. In verse number three, Lazarus is sick, all right, and two. And so in verse number three, Mary and Martha, the sisters, they sent word to the Lord Jesus that Lazarus was sick. Now, they didn't, it's not recorded, I don't see it in here, it's not recorded that they specifically asked for Jesus to come, but it's obvious they expected him to come. And Jesus' love for Lazarus was visible, it was well known. Look at verse number five. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister, that's Mary, and Lazarus. So he loved this family, he loved these siblings, and they didn't specifically ask him to come, but they expected him to come. Now, how do we know that? Well, look down at verse number 21. So Jesus, now we're going to jump ahead a little bit. Jesus finally shows up, right? And Martha goes out to meet him. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Look at verse 32. This is Mary. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Is that not word for word? So let me ask you a question. Do you think those sisters had talked to each other about Jesus not being there and Lazarus dying? I'm positive they had. Well, we sent for him. I know, he didn't come. And if he'd have been here, yeah, I know, if he'd have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And when they each individually got a chance to see Jesus, that was the first thing they said. Identical sentences, identical statements. No doubt they had talked to each other. They were sorrowful. Their hearts were broken. They fully expected Jesus to come and heal Lazarus and prevent his death. So even though there's not a formal request, Jesus, will you please come, the sisters both felt that it was enough. If Jesus just knew Lazarus was sick, he'll come and he'll heal him and he'll prevent him from dying, right? That's what they said. Now look at verse number six. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, Jesus knew Lazarus was sick even before they told him, huh? And he knew exactly how sick he was. But notice in verse six that after he heard that, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. 2 days. Where was he? Well, back up in chapter 10. Back up in chapter 10. Look at verse number 22. Where was Jesus? Where was he at with his disciples? Look at chapter 10, verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple. So where are they? Jerusalem. All right? Now look down at verse number 30 and 31. So Jesus is engaging with the Jews there in Jerusalem. And boy, look what he says in verse 30. I and my Father are one. That did not go over. 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. They're going to kill him, folks. Why? For claiming that he was God. Okay, we're right. We're good so far? All right, that's where he is. Okay, now, look at verse 39. Verse 39, therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. Watch it, verse 40, and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. Now, you can look at this on your map. Bethany is just a couple of miles from Jerusalem. The place where John baptized was beyond Jordan. So it was east of Jordan. Okay, where Jesus and his disciples went when they were going to stone him in Jerusalem because he claimed to be God. Now, Mary and Martha are in Bethany. And where John was baptizing beyond Jordan is about 20 miles from where Jesus was. So that's where he was when he finds out that Lazarus is sick, or when they tell him Lazarus is sick. And so the sisters figured, you know, wherever Jesus is, he'll leave immediately. If he's 20 miles away, he can make that probably 20 miles in a day, and then he'll get here, and Lazarus will be healed. But he didn't come. And verse 17, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Jesus, watch it, could have arrived before Lazarus died. Okay? He's 20 miles away. He gets the message from the whoever comes, the messengers. He could have made that journey, maybe a day and a half, and he could have gotten to Bethany in time to heal Lazarus. But he delayed his coming. Why did he delay his arrival? Why did the sister's prayer go unanswered? I think Jesus answered the question, and I think we miss it. Look at verse number 4. When Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, okay, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So people, look, and I'm going to lay this out here, but there is a bigger picture involved here in what is happening than what the sisters could see. The whole they could see was their brother was sick, going to die. But there's a bigger picture than the picture they can see. And people, you know, there's a bigger picture involved sometimes in our big prayer request than just the picture we're seeing. We're only seeing this, but the picture's like this. And we can't see that. Now, because we have a recorded story in our Bible, we can see the bigger picture. But in real time, Mary and Martha can't see it. Mary and Martha see one thing, my brother's dead. And you could have prevented it. If you had just come, he would be alive. That's all they could see in real time. You and I have the whole story. I want to show you here. I said I didn't have any points, but I guess I do. Okay? I want to show you number one. The big picture included the disciples. Now, Mary and Martha didn't see that, did they? Look at verse 7. Then after that, he saith to his disciples, now where are they? They're beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. They're 20 miles away. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, he's abode 2 days. He stayed 2 days. Okay, boys, let's go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Jesus, are you sure that's a good idea? They just tried to kill you there. You really want to go there? I mean, you really want to go to the south side of Chicago? You know, is that where you want to go? You really want to go back to New York City? Where do you mean? Really? Okay. So that's what they say to him, all right, in verses 6 and 7. Now, look what he said down in verse number 11. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. But I go that I may awake him out of sleep. What was he going to do? You're going to raise him from the dead. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he's sleeping, he's doing well. Just leave him be, okay? What? Don't wake the baby, okay? All right. Howbeit, look at verse 13, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now look at verse 15. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not. Whose sake? The disciples. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. Why? To the intent ye may believe. By the way, folks, I think in his statement there in verse number, what was it? Verse number 15, I believe that you see that the sisters were right. If Jesus had been there, he could have prevented Lazarus from dying. Okay? But he did not answer their request right away, and one of the reasons was for the sake of growing the disciples' faith. So Mary and Martha's great big request was not granted or answered because Jesus needed to use Lazarus' death as a growing point for the disciples' faith. The disciples needed to have an increase in their faith, and Jesus chose this way to do it. Now, the sisters did not want Lazarus to die. But the disciples needed Lazarus' death to grow their faith. Okay? So the big picture included the disciples. Number two, the big picture included the sisters. It did include the sisters. Now look down at verse number 39. But this, so he didn't come, and this is, the sisters didn't see this, but Jesus said, look at verse 39, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, you see how many times here, if you would believe, if you would, thou shouldest see the glory of God. As soon as Jesus got there and got to the tomb and said to move the stone away from the mouth of the cave, Martha speaks up and goes, whoa, 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 he's been dead 4 days and now he stinks. And Jesus reminded her, Martha, if you believe, you're going to see the glory of God. You're going to see it. So what does he mean by that? What does he mean by it? See the glory of God. Well, you have to go back. You have to go back, jump up at verse number 21. We were there just a moment ago. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my sister, this is Martha, my brother had not died. But this is amazing, folks. But I know that even now watch this. Whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Well, Jesus, you know, if you had been here, you could have prevented Lazarus from dying, but you know what? Now I know whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. Do you see what Martha was saying? You could have prevented Lazarus' death, but only God can raise him from the dead. So if you ask God to raise him, you can raise him. Do you see what's going on? She believed Jesus had power over the living, but not the dead, because only God had that power. Are we together here? You see? Okay. So, you know, Martha's got faith in Jesus, yes, but her faith is not perfected yet. And look at verse 23. This is what he said to her. Jesus, you know, whatever you ask of God, you know, if you hadn't been here, you could have healed my brother from his sickness and kept him from dying, but you know, you didn't come, so now you need to ask God to give you the power. Look what Jesus said to her in verse 23. Thy brother shall rise again. And then without reading every verse, Martha go, oh, yeah, I got it, Lord, I know. I believe in the great resurrection day at the last day. And Jesus said, I am. Stop right there. What's I am? That's God. That's God from Exodus chapter 3. That's God. I am, glory to God, the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Oh boy, she's caught. She responds in verse 27, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. I do believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God. But folks, he's not just God the Son, Son of God. He's God the Son. He's God, Matthew 1:23, talking about Jesus. They shall call his name Jesus' name, Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Not just Jesus, God with us. But when they got to the grave and Jesus said, roll the stone away, Martha gets rattled. And Jesus said, whoa, whoa, didn't I say to you that if thou wouldest believe, you will see the glory of Martha, we just talked about this. You need to see the glory of God. You need to see the Son of God glorified. So Martha's here. So the picture, the big picture included the disciples, and the big picture included the sisters. And I'm going to make the application in the end. Just hang with me. Are we okay so far? Number three, the big picture included many others. Look at verse 18. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. That's a little less than 2 miles. And many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha, Martha and Mary, to comfort them concerning their brother. These siblings were well loved. So everybody in Jerusalem hears, oh man, Lazarus has died. So here comes all these Jews, these friends of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and they come to comfort them. And in verse number 37, when Jesus shows up, the Jews said, boy, he really loved him. And then they were critical in verse 30. Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? People, there is a huge difference in having power over blindness or over sickness and having power over death. Are you with me tonight? We're talking about power. I'm not talking about power to keep people from dying. Power to bring people back from the dead. And these Jews, they needed to see the glory. Now look down at verse number, look at 41, okay? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, so here's his prayer. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Do you see anywhere in that prayer where Jesus asked God to give him the power to raise Lazarus from the dead? No, it's just the opposite. Brother Ross talked about God saying, I got this. Father, I've got this. And you know I do. I'm not saying it because I need you to help me. I'm just, you know, I'm just glad all these people are listening around here. I'm glad they're watching. And verse 43, he steps up and says, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. And you know what the disciples saw? And Mary and Martha saw? And all those Jews that came from Jerusalem saw, this is more than the Son of God who might have power over sickness. This is God the Son who has power over death. And they all needed to see that. And when Lazarus walked out of that tomb, brother, it glorified Jesus as you say, okay, Brother Angel, Pastor, I don't see how this relates to the prayer request not being granted. Folks, at times there is a bigger picture involved in the request than just the picture we're seeing. The sisters saw a sick brother. They loved him dearly. They did not want him to die. They did not want to suffer the grief of losing him. Come on now, even though it's selfish, let's admit it. Any of us that have lost a sibling or a parent or a child, with dread, you anticipate the grief that you know is coming. Come on. They didn't want to suffer the grief of losing him. They did not want their family broken up. Possibly Lazarus was the source of their income, and they didn't know what they would do if their brother died, and that's why they wanted Jesus to come. But life is not all about us. And many times our big prayers are something that we need or we think is necessary or we believe is best or we want to happen or not to happen. And we can only see the picture we are looking at, but God always sees the big picture. And we have to learn to trust Him. We have to be submitted to God's plan for us as we fit into the big picture. Yeah, our great big prayer is made to a great big God who sees the great big picture that you and I can't see. We got blinders on. We're going to see about like this. Many of us have a big prayer request that is based on the picture we are seeing. But folks, it's only a part of the picture that God sees. I'm not saying don't pray it. But I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Do you trust Him enough to let Him do what He knows is best based on the big picture? Do you trust Him enough? You trust Him enough? Oh, the big picture may bring you sorrow. The big picture may bring you hurt, pain, or disappointment. Mary, Martha, their friends, they all sorrowed. They all grieved to some degree because of the big picture that God saw in all of this. Even Jesus wept at the tomb. People have suggested that Jesus wept because of the folks' unbelief all around him. Maybe that's true. To be honest, I haven't come to any specific conclusion as to why I think Jesus wept and groaned at the tomb. Maybe it was because he loved Lazarus. And he loved Martha and Mary, and they're all weeping. And Lazarus is gone. So maybe it was identification with those. But the big picture, here, the big picture is usually invisible to us. While we look at the part of the picture that we want to control or we want to have fixed or we want changed, and go ahead and ask. But it does us good to remember that God may not see it exactly like we do. Joseph is looking at the picture of the pit. He's looking at the picture of Potiphar's house. He's looking at the picture of Pharaoh's prison. That's what he is seeing. You reckon Joseph asked God to change any of that? I don't think Joseph was some bionic Christian. He was probably sick of the prison. In fact, when the butler left, he thought he was getting out. But God was seeing a much bigger picture. Oh, what picture? God was seeing a nation that needed saved from extinction. And God was seeing that his promised seed had yet come, and that son was going to come, and he was going to go to an old rugged cross to die for the sins of the world. Joseph couldn't see all that. He saw the pit. He saw Potiphar's house. He saw Pharaoh's prison. God, get me out of this. But that's Joseph's picture. God had a much bigger picture. And there was a day, when Joseph saw the big picture. In chapter 50, ye thought it evil against me, but God. I saw the little picture, but God saw this great big picture, and you thought it for evil, but God meant it for good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. You know what he's, Joseph rejoicing in the fact that God saw the big picture. And his big request really wasn't answered the way he wanted God to answer it. Can we handle that? Can we handle that? Or do we get bitter? Yeah, I quit praying that prayer, and Pastor Ross comes and says, pray a great big prayer. And so I did. You know what? Nothing's changed. Folks, our great big God sees the great big picture. And by the way, his plan was a part of this picture. Look at verse 45. Look at verse 45. So Lazarus is alive now, and the disciples and Mary and Martha and all of those Jews from Jerusalem saw it. Verse 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Look down at verse 53. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. I bet Mary and Martha didn't see that. After Lazarus' resurrection from the dead, the human plan to put Jesus to death began to be pursued in earnest. Oh, Jesus going to the cross to die for all the sins of the world was God's major plan, formulated from before the beginning of time as we know it. But humanly speaking, this is when they began to pursue Christ's death. And folks, that had to happen. Because without that, we might as well close our Bibles and go home. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And that's it. And please don't forget this truth, that God loves you. And even when the answer to your great big prayer does not fit into his big picture, you should never question the love of God for you. God sent his son to die. So our sins could be forgiven. Don't question his love. That's an insult. In this story, God's plan went forward on schedule because Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, because Jesus did not get to Bethany when the sisters wanted him to, because they did not get their prayer answered, because God was looking at the big picture. Now, I'm not suggesting tonight that you and I should tear that card up and throw it away and not pray the great big prayer to a great big God. But I'm saying, church, you get your hopes up. I believe God's going to do it. And he might. He might. But if he doesn't, there's a big picture. And one of these days, like Joseph, we'll see it like he does. We'll say, Lord, wow, I see it now. I see it now. Can you trust him? I believe you can. I believe you can. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'll help us, Lord. That meeting was such a blessing, an oasis to my heart. And I remember kneeling over here in the corner of this altar and the emotion that was in my throat and in my heart, thinking about a great big prayer to a great big God. Lord, I don't want to throw cold water on anybody's prayer request tonight. And I hope and I believe that you will answer some, if not many of them. But God, you may not answer them all because maybe it doesn't fit in your big picture. And we see in this story there was a much bigger picture than what the sisters saw. So help us to learn from it tonight that we just need to trust you to do what's best and right and good. And may this not discourage us from praying our big prayer, but may this help us if it doesn't fit into the big picture. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, the Lord help me tonight. I believe I'm not going to quit praying my great big prayer, but I believe the Lord help me a little bit tonight. Well, maybe sometimes why that answer doesn't come. Can I see your hand wherever you're sitting tonight? Amen. Amen. Don't get angry. Don't get bitter. If you're not saved, now's the time to come. Trust Christ, obviously, or follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Let's stand while we're standing. The piano begins to play. You obey the Lord tonight. You mind God. You mind God. Mind God. Please don't take this to mean I think you should give up on your great big prayer. No. No, that's not what I mean at all. But I am saying that sometimes the answer doesn't come because there's a bigger picture than what we can see. And there might be some in the room here tonight whose great big prayer involves something in the near future. You need God to do something. Can he do it? Yes. Will he do it? I don't know.